is my problem with men, you ask?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Yes, indeed. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA cast. Follow us on Twitter at another MMA cast. This particular episode of Amp Radio, we like to call Proteus's Prime Time. And of course, had to switch the Prime Time up a little bit, but still Proteus's Prime Time. This morning, I'm lucky enough to have a co-host. My boy is back in the house. Welcome back to the show, Showtime from Tennessee. Let's bring him in right now.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away.
Whoa.
Know when to run. You never count your money.
Showtime. Showtime is apparently ordering some coffee or something. Anyway, we brought Showtime in. He'll be with us in a moment. Also, we have with us today Mr. Danny Austin. Follow him on Twitter at DannyAustin_9. And of course, don't be paying attention to his Twitter for the next week, for the weekend, because he's going on vacation to the cottage. Danny, how are you feeling today?
Man, I'm feeling ready for vacation. That's how I'm feeling. Yeah, I'm literally the second we're off the air, I'm hopping in the car, driving a couple hours north of Toronto to the family cottage, and just chilling out for a week. So it's going to be nice.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. So, Danny, the last time we spoke with you, you were in Los Angeles. Well, you were in Anaheim. You were having a bit of a bad week. So let's talk about it, because did the event itself buoy your spirits at all? Because we had a great card on 214.
Yeah, it was one of those awesome fight weeks, where the best part of the week was the fights. It was not an easy week, but got through it, and lucky enough to fly home and stay with my parents for a couple days and kind of be on half vacation, and then checked into a hotel and covered some football. But yeah, I mean, the entire week in Anaheim is not great. I'm gonna be honest with you, like, LA is amazing. Like, Laguna Beach, went there, it's amazing, but like Anaheim itself, if you're not going to Disneyland, it's an awfully hard place to have a good time, in my opinion. But yeah, the fights were amazing. So there's that.
Yeah, you are correct with that. And of course, we have talked a lot about UFC 214 the past week, but of course, it was such a big show, and as we mentioned, probably the biggest show to date for the UFC this particular year. And it did perform, let's put it that way. I've only had one cup of coffee at this point in time, so my speech is a little bit messed up. Showtime, do we have you available? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? I thought I was talking initially, but I guess you couldn't hear me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it sounded like you were talking to somebody ordering a coffee or something. Yeah, you're good now. No worries. Keep it on like that. Showtime, I mean, okay. We were just talking with Danny, and 214 was a great show, and there were lots of stories that came out of 214, and of course, there was one in particular that you wanted to talk to Danny and myself about, so why don't I throw it to you, and we can get started talking about 214.
You know what, guys? I was pleasantly surprised and happy with the outcome of 214, because just think about it, man. When the UFC build up these super cards and all that, man, it's really hard for them to live up to everything. I mean, if you're putting on 12 or 13 fights on a card, I mean, if you get 8 good fights out of that card, then it's an excellent card, you know. And I think all the fights were great. You know, everybody was talking about the Whitley fight as being a snoozer, the one that people thought would be a better fight than what it was. But, I mean, I could have told you before that fight what type of fight that was going to be. Anybody thinking otherwise, you know, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, and there was a lot said about that. Sorry, go ahead, Danny. Yep.
Well, no, I mean, I agree. I thought it was going to be a snoozer, and I think it was. one of my big takeaways from the weekend, though, was that, like, it's time to stop doing three title fights on the same card, because it does, if one of them is slow, it does kind of kill the momentum, and we're lucky that Jones and Daniel Cormier were as fascinating as it was, but I don't think we need the possibility of three 25-minute fights on a card. I think that there's more than enough talent that doesn't have titles that you can build those cards. That's just my one sort of negative from the whole night. Was I was like, oh man, like, let's keep this moving a little bit, and there's enough cards that we can just do two title fights every card at this point.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more, Danny, since you brought it up. Now, this particular fight was put on this fight card pretty late notice. Both guys had about 6 weeks, was it, Danny, to prepare for one another. Some news came out that Tyron had been preparing for Damian Maia for a longer period of time. Also, we heard that Damian did not get to go to New Jersey, where he normally does his wrestling training. So do you think, Danny, that they put this particular fight together too fast, and that's what resulted in the kind of boring fight that we saw? Maybe Damian Maia was not as prepared wrestling-wise as he needed to be?
I mean, everything we know sort of suggests that that's true. At the same time, I mean, Woodley is, pretty good at not getting taken down when he doesn't want to. So, I don't know what the extra prep would have done 100%, but I mean, with any title fight, especially for the challenger, this is, often the biggest fight they've ever had. And I just do think that they should get full training camps. I never really understood why, other than I think that the UFC was worried that they put together this card, but you still had Jones and Cormier. So they just wanted a third title fight just in case that, the main event fell apart. And I do think that, I really do think that had Woodley gone out and looked great, they would have marketed Woodley and GSP. I do think that that was the idea. And I believe them. I just also think that, for many reasons, I shouldn't say that I believe them, because I almost never believe them anymore. I understand the reasons why they did it. I understand the reasons why, but understanding the reasons why doesn't mean I have to agree with it. Right. And that's kind of where I'm at with the scheduling here. Just, they could have given it an extra month. Why not?
Yeah, I agree. Now, Showtime, there was a bunch of fallout, in particular from this fight. It seemed to be a hot topic of conversation, as I mentioned. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, the two cage grabs that happened during the fight kind of are roadblocks for me. They kind of throw up a little bit of an alarm bell that maybe this fight would have been a little bit different had the champ not cheated and held the cage. What were your thoughts on that, Showtime?
You know what? I think pretty much if this was any other fight, I know he was warned the first time and warned the second time. Use the protocol. That's what I'm saying, with taking a point from a guy with a cage grab. I mean, I don't know if it's taken on the second. I think maybe the third time is when they deduct the point from it, or if it's, I guess it's obvious, a long cage grab. I mean, I think I may have saw somebody give a deduct the point with the second one, but I did see those two grabs, and I did see that he got warned. I'm just thinking, though, man, with that fight, and pretty much with the outcry of, I guess, the fight being so boring, what can you do? I mean, if the guy comes out and fights and you have one guy that has a boring style, you know what? I made a post earlier this week about the San Antonio Spurs, about people say that they're boring, but right, all they do is win, you know? Sort of the New England Patriots, too. They can be boring sometimes and methodical, but all they do is win. You know, we want guys to come out and fight and to, I guess, be more exciting. Think about the Ortega fight with the guy, how he was facing. Mm-hmm. He would have beat Ortega. He would have beat him if that fight would have went to a decision. He made one risky move and went to the ground with a Gracie black belt, and he got choked out instantly. I mean, he wasn't on the ground. I mean, you probably could have counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that fight was over. And all this guy had to do was basically stay out of range and not get taken down, but he actually went down willingly. And I think, you know, with a guy like Woodley, he was basically just trying to play safe, which, you know, you can say it was boring, it was strategic, but at the end of the day, can you make a guy fight? I mean, it was even people was like, well, they ought to take the belt and strip him. You can't do that, man. Come on now, let's be serious.
Ridiculous.
You can't do that. So, I mean, you can kind of punish him by not letting him headline a card or doing other little stuff like that, but still other fighters would get pissed at that too. So this is a slippery slope, man. I think Dana has to be real careful with how he handled this situation, man.
Right, and we'll get into Dana's reaction in just a second. But, Danny, Showtime brings up good points about, you know, points, taking points, you know, what we do with fouls. Now, these guys are warned in the back. They know the rules before they get into the cage. Now, what are your thoughts? I mean, and also, Showtime had said, well, you can't really make guys fight. So had Tyron Woodley been penalized for the fence grab, do you think that would have changed the way the fight went? And do you think bringing something like red cards or yellow cards in, like we used to see in Pride, would help with these sorts of fights?
I mean, I think that the yellow card, red card idea is interesting and it works. And the fact is, if you're only losing a point anyways, and it's as lopsided a fight as it is for Tyron Woodley, like, it's worth it just to lose the point, right? I mean, it's always been my big thing with eye pokes is just, you know, how many times have we seen an eye poke completely change the direction of a fight? I mean, there's kind of not any incentive to not eye poke, if you're up on the cards on some level. So, I mean, I'd love to see a review of the the point taking system. I like the yellow card, red card idea, actually. I mean, I hadn't really thought about that in a long, long time. But, you know, why not do it? I don't think that I'm being particularly thoughtful right now. I just, that idea pops up and yeah, it bugs me. I mean, the truth is, against a guy like Damian Maia, you know, holding on to the fence once and not being taken down can be the difference between winning and losing. So you need to make sure that there's a disincentive, you know, to prevent it, and that needs to be there. So, hey, good idea to the man down there in Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's another thing that you just said, Danny, that, you know, kind of triggered something in my mind, because Showtime brought up the Ortega fight, and had Woodley gotten to that ground, the fight might have ended the same way, you know what I mean? It might have been over real quick, just like Ortega was able to finish it because of the disparity of their ground games. I know Woodley's a great wrestler, but his BJJ is not at the level of Damian Maia. So, you know, one fence grab, like you said, Danny, could change the whole tide of the fight. And I think, in my opinion, and I'm not a professional or anything, but I believe that that's what happened. You know, Woodley was showing a lot of desperation of not wanting to go to the ground, and those two fence grabs, I believe, showed his desperation. Now, Showtime.
Well, and we've talked.
You brought up the fact.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Yep.
I'll say, like we've talked before. I mean, you go back to, you know, you think middleweight and that, you know, Jacare Silva, Yoel Romero fight, and Romero held the cage, and you know that might have changed the direction of a whole division for several years, because Jacare very easily might have won that fight had he gotten that takedown. So, yeah, it is a big deal, for sure.
Yeah, definitely a big deal. And we need to, in my opinion, and I don't know if you guys agree, but in my opinion, those points need to be taken right away. If you have a foul, you shouldn't get a second chance. Like, if you look at other sports, say basketball, you hack somebody or you push somebody, you don't just get away with it, right? You get a penalty or you get a foul or you get a, you get a foul. And the referees have to call those things. We've talked about this before, Danny, I believe, on the show, that the referees are so concerned about changing the course of a fight that they are unwilling at sometimes to do what they need to do, take the point, call the foul. Because, again, these guys are so they're so reliant on their money because they're not getting paid enough. And this brings me to another point, Showtime. You see Tyron Woodley, how he fought in this fight, as opposed to, say, how he fought, in any one of his fights before he won the belt. Very different styles. And as you said, he's being cautious. directly related to the fact that Tyron is trying to hang on to that money. And Showtime, we've talked about this before on the show, but I think that, you know, the incentive of having the belt really is really too much. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, because just think about it, man. I think what did T Wood make? 500 grand, I think. Think about this. If he doesn't have that belt and he's fighting, he may be fighting for 100, you know, or maybe 125, or hell, he could even be 75-75. So just think about that big disparity of keeping that belt. I mean, the perks of having that belt, that can be, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 more that you make that night. So I don't know. Maybe they want to come in and whatever, you know, they may need to have a win bonus. You know, maybe if you finish the fight, you get an extra 100K or something. Cause just think about it. When they give the bonuses out at the end of the night, what is it? Three bonuses that they give out. Only, you know, maybe if they make that incentive a little bit better for each fight, maybe we'll see more finishes. Because if a guy has the incentive to get him an extra 100K to finish that fight, then maybe the risk is worth the reward then. You know, that's something we know. Oh, Junkie, I think I made mention of that earlier this week of maybe they can, you know, dangle a carrot out that'll make these guys not fight so safe. I mean, cause just think about it, man. That's $200K or $300K extra, and all you need to do is win that fight and get your hand raised. You know, that gives you reason to play it safe sometimes.
Yeah, it's a conundrum, that's for sure. It's just more reasons why these guys, the fighters, need representation. But we won't get into that right now. Danny, you were at the press conference after 214, and our boy Dana White got up on the dais and started ripping on yet another one of his champions. And we talked about this previously on Proteus's primetime show, but again, we're seeing the president of the company, the president of the promotion, taking down one of his champions yet again. So let's get your comments on that, because you were right there in the building.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, my opinions on this. I mean, I hate that Dana does this. Truthfully, I mean, I actually don't disagree with a lot of what he was saying. I just, you know,
sure,
hate the way he says it on some level. Like, I personally do think Tyron Woodley has an obligation to, you know, put on, maybe not an obligation, but I actually think that, like, Tyron's got the skills to be a really popular fighter people want to see. So he is leaving money on the table by doing these super cautious fights that he knows nobody wants to, you know, watch. But at the same time, you don't need the president of the company getting up there and, you know, ripping him to shreds. All it does is create problems down the line when they've got to try to promote Tyron Woodley again. You know, it's a chicken and egg situation. So, I mean, it was so dumb. I mean, the fight shouldn't have been on there. It shouldn't have been you don't want five rounds of that when everyone in the arena wants John Jones and Daniel Cormier. They've been waiting all night. But Dana also, just who does it serve? All he had to do was say, look, I didn't think it was an exciting enough fight for me to be able to book him against GSP and make that fight, you know, be as attractive to fans as we want it to be. So we're going with Bisping. It's too bad, but that's sort of my decision. I'm the president of the company, and this is what I think is best. He didn't have to spend the next 15 minutes explaining every single thing that's wrong with Tyron Woodley. That doesn't do anyone any good. A little bit of professionalism, I think, would go a long way, because at some point before the end of 2017, they're going to need to put Tyron Woodley on a top of the card, chances are, and they need to be able to sell it. And it hurts. It hurts Tyron. It hurts the UFC. It hurts everybody involved.
So, Showtime, did you hear these comments? Did you watch the press conference? And what were your thoughts when you heard Dana White saying this? Because as we had mentioned on previous shows, this isn't the first time the president of the company has done this.
Yeah, I heard it, man. And I'm like, come on, Dana. I mean, you can't rip your champions, man. That's just like, you know, the commissioner of the NBA ripping one of his star players or ripping the MVP or something. But Dana also, man, you can't rip these guys because, you know, it may come back and bite him in the butt. Just think about if something happens with a card and you need to call T. Wood on short notice or something to get him to try to save a card or get something to happen, or he may be fighting on a card and somebody might get hurt and they might want to bring another opponent in. And sometimes, man, when you treat these fighters like that, man, they might not do you a solid. You know, at the end of the day, if something happens with a fight, they don't have to take that fight. If their opponent gets injured or if you're trying to call them to get them to step in to save a card, they don't have to do that. So I think what makes us love Dana sometimes also makes us shake our head at him sometimes too, because I think he talks on emotion a lot of times, man. He's a very emotional guy. And when you stick a mic in Dana's face sometimes after those cards, if something didn't go the way he liked it, you know, he's going to have something bad to say about it. And that's just how Dana is, man.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I as you said, Danny, I agreed with a lot of what he was saying. I don't know, honestly, how you promote Tyron Woodley in the future, if he's going to continue to put these performances on. But I've been thinking about this all week, and I know you don't agree with me on this, Danny, but it seems to be a trend that we're seeing. When a champion who, say, Demetrius Johnson, okay, we say that he's not very popular, people don't like him, but Dana comes out and trashes him, and that bolsters DJ's persona. I mean, all I heard and all I could see was people supporting DJ when Dana came out against him, again with Amanda Nunes, and again with Tyron Woodley. I mean, all we're talking about right now is Tyron Woodley. I mean, we've been talking about him for 20 minutes now at the beginning of the program, so I'm not sure that it's a terrible thing because their names are in the news. Now, saying you can't promote this guy is not a great thing, right? Then you just can't be saying that, especially when you want to promote them in the future. I know you don't agree with me with that point, Danny, but it just seems to be coming up and coming up again, making more sense to me.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I inherently disagree. Like, I mean, there's levels to this stuff. And, we're talking about it. I don't know that this is going to boost Tyron's, you know, pay-per-view sales or anything like that. I mean,
sure.
Dana can do whatever he wants. It's whether he should. And, you know, my issue is, I mean, I think the main area, the only area where we would disagree at all, for me, I understand fans in Edmonton, and I mean, that show sold out right away, so clearly they weren't too upset, but I understand fans in Edmonton, yeah, who would, you know, after they've heard Dana White trash the two title holders who are defending their belts in September, and they get that card, and they're like, oh, well, we feel like a second class, you know, UFC city. You don't want that feeling. I mean,
yeah,
you know, maybe it bolsters support within the hardcore community, but it also does, you know, make those champions seem lesser. And, you know, that's what I don't like, one way or another. I, you know, every belt should be worth the same and you should go out and promote them. And the UFC should be able to just promote the importance of, you know, their championships. I mean, that should be the big deal. But I mean, yeah, with Tyron, like, again, I really understand what Dana was saying. I mean, that's two crap fights in a row. Most of my friends who are kind of casual and, you know, only tune in when I tell them to, they just hate Tyron Woodley. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not as if he's, you know, the argument that his opponents, you know, don't engage or whatever. I mean, sorry, there have been a lot of power punchers over the years, both in boxing and MMA, who put on exciting fights despite their opponents not wanting to get hit because they take those risks to finish the fight. You know, I get what Dana's saying. I think that the next time the card rolls around, it does hurt the UFC. And, you know, it contributes. I don't know. I don't know exactly where I'm going, but that's my point.
Showtime, do you have a last comment on this before we move on to another topic?
You know what? I think I kind of agree with what he was saying, too, about opponents not wanting to engage, because what they say, it takes two to tangle. So,
right.
I think you have to put some of it on the people that he's fighting as well. If they can't get to, you know, if they can't penetrate that force field that T. Wood has, then, you know, maybe they need to do a little bit more. But, you know, I agree with people, man. They pay their money. And one thing about the MMA fans, man, from, you know, from us basically being in the arenas, when they start booing fights, you know, it takes a lot of courage for those guys to even get out there and get in that octagon. They just want to see fireworks, man, you know. Some of those situations, man, you can't please everybody, man. At the end of the day,
sure,
I hope T. Wood with you know, put on a more exciting fight. But if he doesn't, there's really nothing we can do. I mean, there's nothing Dana can do. The guy's the champ. I mean, you can try to punish him, but you can try to talk to him. And, you know, hopefully when T-Wood next time from getting all this backlash, hopefully he will finish his next fight, you know, and maybe this will be water under the bridge.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes, you may.
Just boy, oh boy, does the UFC welterweight division ever miss Rory McDonald right now. Just want to make that point. Because, you know, if they'd been a little more patient with him, give him the time he needed to heal, and he'd come back and want to fight, you know, that's the next welterweight title fight for sure. And, you know, I don't think – I personally enjoyed the first fight, and I don't think that would be a boring second fight, and I think we'd have a new champion pretty quick. So just want to say that because, you know, I'm Canadian. I got that obligation.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a great point, though, Canadian or not. I mean, it's a great point because that would be the next title fight, and that would be a very marketable fight. It's, anyways, sometimes the UFC shoots themselves in the foot. Let's talk about what the fallout from Tyron Woodley's performance was, and that's, of course, Dana announcing that the ship that had sailed had turned back around and come back into the harbor, and we are now getting Bisping versus GSP. I don't know if we have a date yet, but it is signed. It's going to be signed, sealed, and delivered. Danny, when we talked about this fight, you said if it ever got put together, for sure there would be a riot. So what are your thoughts on it now that we know it's about to happen?
I mean, it's happening, right? I you know, I don't think it's as bad a fight as people say. I think if there's one guy who's come back, probably merits him having a little bit of saying who wants to fight, it is GSP. You know, the guy was so important for the sport and the growth. Ultimately, honestly, I'm going to be able to talk myself into this one in a way that I can't for something like Conor Floyd. I see all the reasons why people want to roll their eyes at it and all that. But, like, you know, other than Robert Whittaker just getting completely screwed. Right. I mean, it's just I've been I never really thought that the ship had sailed. I thought this was always going to be the fight that they would end up going with. So I'm having a hard time getting too riled up about it. It's, you know, they're going to do it at Madison Square Garden. It's going to be a big fight. A lot of people are going to tune in. The UFC is going to get what they want out of this fight. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Showtime, Danny makes good points. I mean, it's easier to talk ourselves into watching this particular fight, at least for me, than it is Maymac. And we'll get into Maymac in just a second. But what are your thoughts on this fight finally being, you know, concrete? Showtime.
Well, my take on it is GSP is boring. We getting on T-Wood about being boring. Shit, GSP is boring too. So, you know, what's the difference? I mean, he's a big draw, but he's boring. His fights are boring. His last fight was boring. So, I love GSP because he wins, but he's boring too. And my thing is, Dana's playing flip-flop with these fights. That makes the casual fan not take MMA serious because the head man seems like he doesn't know what he wants to do. If you take the commissioner of the NFL, the NBA, MLB, hockey, they don't flip-flop on certain stuff. If they say something, they pretty much say it. They don't go back and forth three, four, five times, okay, this fight is on, this fight is off, this fight is on, this fight is off. I mean, it is what it is. To me, I think it'll be a boring fight. I could care less about the fight, to be honest. I think it's a boring, unwarranted fight. That's just my personal opinion now. I don't think when we see this fight, it's going to be some battle. It's going to be a John Jones Cormier fight. I don't think it's going to be a fight like that. You got one guy that has a boring style. Bisping, you know, he don't have the most exciting style. He's tough. You know, he'll get hit and get rocked, but I don't know with GSP's skill set if he can, you know, with what he brings to the table, I don't know if it'll work against Bisping. Because Bisping is a little bit bigger guy. And I didn't know last time I saw GSP fight, he's knocking people out with one punch. That's the thing that Bisping, his chin is kind of weak. Every fight, if you got a good right hand or a good left hand, you can hit Bisping and drop it. And I don't know if GSP packs that type of power now. He hadn't fought in, what, 4 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, you're kind of breaking up a bit there, Showtime. So we'll throw to Danny real quick, because we've only got about 15 more minutes with you. So let's talk about John Jones's performance, unless you have something more to say about GSP Bisping.
No, I'm good talking John Jones. Okay. You just want me to get into it, or you have a specific question?
Absolutely. No, I want to get into it because it was a performance.
It couldn't have been better. He got hit a couple times, and then he did the work. It's been a while. I mean, I really think since the Conor fights, it's been a while since I just saw such a superstar performance. I don't know exactly how to, quantify that, but just being there ringside, the second he hit that kick, there was just a feeling of, okay, John Jones is back. He obviously looks better when he's a little bit leaner, all that. But that to me, that was the king coming back to reclaim his throne a little bit. And, the sport of MMA is better when John Jones is fighting, no matter what people have to say. I do think that he's the best pound for pound of all time, and I don't think it's particularly close at this point. So for me, it was really exciting. And, a guy that height being able to kick you in the head is a scary, scary thing.
No, absolutely. I agree. And as soon as that kick landed, just a thing of beauty, the way that he was working it and setting it up. Showtime, let's throw it to you. John Jones is back, right?
Man, this guy's arsenal is amazing. Just think about this fight. Everything that DC landed, it was like he had to work so freaking hard to land that overhand right, which DC is good at. It was like he had to stretch out and drop his head and almost like he had to strain to try to push forward to hit Jones. And it's like John is just so smooth with his elbows and with his kicks. It's almost like the man is like a Swiss Army knife. Whatever. He has so many tricks, it's like he can do so much stuff with the linear kick, with the elbows. The man is amazing. And for him to come back and to look like that, and he hadn't fought. What was OSP? That was his last fight, right?
Correct.
And, for him to come back and put on that type of performance, but you know what? It didn't surprise me with that high kick because think about it. That's the one of the best moves of the Jack Swinks camp. From Cowboy having that high kick, from Holly having that high kick. So that's actually something that they practice a lot over there at that camp. And he was so precise with it. And just think about that fight. I heard some people talking on some of the shows analyzing the fight, and they said that may have been why he was working the body so much on DC to get him to have his hands down to set up that kick.
Mm-hmm.
He may have set that up, with three rounds of action, of work, body work, to get him to drop his hands, and all he needed to do was land it one time, and the fight was over. And it was a Picasso. Let me put it like that. That's what that kick was. It was a Picasso.
Yeah, I
it definitely was. Go ahead.
I don't know where you guys stand on this, but I do a little bit question why an Olympic wrestler went 2.5 rounds without trying to take the fight to the mat at least once. I still don't fully understand why Cormier, didn't even try. I understand that, he's looked really good without the wrestling, and yet the guy's like Gustafson. But, I do think that was a mistaken strategy. And I know John, obviously does a good job. It was hard to take down, and it's possible that the openings just weren't there, and Cormier was recognizing that. But it never even looked like he was looking for it. And, we know how much you can grind a guy down, even if you don't finish him on the ground. So I was a little bit just surprised not to see that happen at all.
No, you're absolutely correct. And I guess maybe the thoughts of the last fight were strong in his head maybe, and that's why he didn't try and take it to the ground. I don't know. Yeah, there's no way of knowing. But one thing that one of our contributors, Chasm, had brought up, Showtime, and I'll throw to you real quickly on this. is that he thought that Daniel Cormier was starting to get a little cocky. He was starting to get a little, you know, too comfortable in his striking. And then, of course, the head kick came. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, that's the thing that we always talk about, man. I think sometimes as the worst weapon for a wrestler to get in his arsenal is when he can strike a little bit. Because sometimes they think they can strike a little bit too good. And I don't know, maybe it was the respect of trying to take Jones down, you know, from the last fight that you know, I don't know if it was certain keys. If he saw something, he was going to try to get the takedown. And if he didn't see that, he wasn't going to do it. But I think he did get comfortable. And I think, he was tough. Because if you look at that round, he was talking noise. I mean, you know, DC was talking a lot of smack.
Yeah.
I think Judd may have been winning that second round. I mean, the third round. I think the second round, you know, DC looked real good. And he was striking and he was landing some. So I think that, but the body work could have been that too. Because if you look, Jones was hitting him, start working that body, start sticking that
hook, yeah.
I think, in the kidney. And that's one of the spots that, you know, even if you look back at the Anderson Silva fight, Anderson hit him in the body and hurt him. So I think that's what John was doing. And, you know, maybe the cockiness and maybe a little body work made him bring his hand down. You know, because everybody was talking about how John was keeping his hand tucked. I mean, he was keeping it right there. He was keeping his hand high. So I don't know. I mean, that just was perfect timing, man. Those head kicks are vicious.
Yeah. I said it on Sunday's show this week in MMA. You know, it looked to me like Jones was just playing with him. You know, unfortunately, it just looked like a cat playing with its food. Let's move on real quickly because we've got Danny for a couple more minutes, and I wanted to touch on this because apparently it's big news this week. We had Angelo Reyes on the show, noted boxing coach. Follow him at Reyes Striking on Wednesday on a Smack My Picks Up edition of our show, Danny. And he kind of broke the news to us before we even knew it was news. That Paulie Malignaggi was going to be leaving Conor McGregor's camp due to some leaked photos that Conor had put out. Now, to me, this kind of seems like a work, and I hate to have to talk about it, but it is big news, so we should at least talk about it. And, of course, the news was broken on our show. So, Danny, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I don't disagree that it seems like a bit of a work. You know, I respect Paulie for leaving. I mean, he's not going to win a PR fight with the UFC and Conor McGregor's team there. You know, the whole story he told, you know, sounds ridiculous. I'm so out on this Floyd Conor fight. You know, I know that I'm watching it. The whole thing, like, it's entirely possible that they brought him in and got him exhausted and did all of that just to give Conor a little bit of confidence, and Conor had nothing to do with it. Or it's entirely possible that Conor's just a jackass and throws his sparring partners who come in to help out with the camp under the bus. You know, I have no idea. I mean, leaking those photos was obviously something they'd thought about and decided to do. So good on him for leaving the camp. At the same time, it's, what, 2-3 weeks away from the fight, so this is right about the time where they want to start building some noise, and you know, this is definitely doing it. But yeah, I mean, if those two end up getting in the ring after Conor gets smoked, and we have to watch a Paulie Conor world tour, I'm gonna just quit this industry right now. I'm not watching fighting anymore. So
yeah, we know that we can't put anything past the UFC since we saw Lord Dana come out in a Mayweather versus McGregor shirt in the UFC. So yeah, that's something. Showtime, do you want to give us your thoughts on this? Have you heard any of the news at all?
I thought it was hilarious, man. It's just like cat fighting to me, man. Just, you know, them them leaking that photo. I mean, that was precisely done, man. That was done to stir up the pot a little bit. You know how this promotion game goes. We're sitting here talking about this fight. Everything had died down a little bit about the little promotional tour. It started out real good. Then it kind of ended kind of crazy, you know, with both guys, you know, saying some controversial stuff. So all they did was put it back in the media again. And they'll find something to do, you know, within the next 2 weeks or so to make us talk about it even more. So good promotion on those guys' part.
All right, Danny, I'm going to let you go here. I want you to go and get yourself some vacation time in. Thank you very much for giving us some time whilst you are on vacation. Enjoy your next week off. If you're going to watch the fights, enjoy the fights. If not, go up there, enjoy yourself. I hope you get some good weather. Thank you again, Danny.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Take care.
Bye. Cheers. Thanks. Bye-bye. That's Mr. Danny Austin. Follow him at DannyAustin_9. And, of course, Danny's a contributor for the Calgary Herald and the Sun. I believe I don't have it up in front of me. I apologize, Danny, if I got that incorrect. Now, Showtime, I've got Showtime still with me. So what we're going to do here is we're going to dive into a little bit of UFC Mexico, maybe get some odds, maybe get some parlays. So let me just throw down this real quick, and then we'll get into it. Okay, hang on 1 second, Showtime.
You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky?
I have a dream that white people and black people and even Chinese people can gamble together without getting zip and zip.
That's right. That's our opening music. We haven't heard this in a long period of time. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Hold the Line. This is the one and only gambler himself, Showtime from Tennessee.
Yes, baby, it's that time again, man. It's like every fight week is like Christmas for me, man. You know, I can't wait. You know, Friday night before the fights is like Christmas Eve. And then fight day is like Christmas. So I have Christmas a hell of a lot of times during the year, and I keep my Christmas trees up at my house, a few small ones, year-round, man. Seriously, no joke. I'm going to have to take a picture and send it to you. I have a little room where I have three little trees that I keep up, you know, year-round.
Wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about the main event real quick if I can. The odds are now up. On UFC.ca, which they weren't before. When we did the show on Wednesday, the UFC did not have any odds up. But and Showtime, feel free to tell me if the odds that you have are any different. So let's go into Sergio Pettis versus Brandon Moreno. Sergio Pettis is coming at us at a plus 145, and Moreno coming back at us at a minus 165, being the favorite in this fight. Showtime, what you got?
Wow, that's amazingly, those are the same odds online right now. Interesting. You know, a lot of times they're close, but a little bit off, but those are the same exact odds. Nice.
Yeah.
You know what?
Also,
on this
give
fight,
us your
man,
thoughts on the fight in general. Yeah, go ahead.
You know what, man? Wayne, I sat there and thought about this fight, man. I love Brandon. I love everything about him. The kid is hungry. But when I sat there, man, and I looked at Sergio's record and how long he's been in the UFC, man, I think he just fought better competition for a longer period of time. I mean, this kid has been in the UFC, man. He has a lot of UFC fights under his belt, man. And I just think it's really disrespecting him right now but to have him as a dog. So I'm going with Sergio in this fight, man. I think I may double down a little bit on that, you know, as far as how I'm going to bet. Pretty much everybody else is riding with Moreno, and, you know, I can see why. The kid is hot. He looked hot in his last fight. But I just think this Sergio time right now. I think everybody was talking about the big brother, and the little brother was sharpening his skills, and the little brother is hungry. And I think it's the little brother's time right now. So I like Sergio Pettis.
Yeah, that's you make good points. I'm glad we talked about it a bit because you're kind of swaying me. I don't know how much faith I have in the Pettis brothers right at this moment, but you make good points. Absolutely. So basically what we're going to do, Showtime, we'll do a couple of quick hits, get your thoughts on a couple of fights, and then I'd like you, if you could, put us a parlay together, and then we'll go ahead and get on out of here, and we'll wrap this up and kind of keep it around an hour. So let's move into the next fight on the card, the co-main event, which is a women's strawweight bout, Randa Markos versus Grasso. okay, I'm just looking at the odds here, and of course, so let's put the caveat out, Showtime, that Grasso did not make weight. I mean, not even close. She was, what, 3 pounds over of the weight limit of 116, so she was 119, I believe. Not even close. Not even close at all. So I haven't heard whether or not she was having problems cutting weight or what the problem was. I haven't heard anything at this point. But let me give you the odds real quick, and you can let me know if they're even close. We've got Randa Markos coming at us at a plus 143 versus Alexa Grasso, who is still the favorite, even though she didn't make weight, at a minus 163. Showtime.
Okay, yeah, those odds are a little off. My site has Grasso at a minus 170 and has Randa at a plus 150. You know what, man? We sat there and we talked about this earlier this week. I mean, we're after Alexa missed weight. I mean, I'm wondering, you know, if this is a little too much too soon for her, or what the issue is with, you know, with her missing weight, man. You know, that's not a good sign for me, man. And this is another fight I'm going to take Randa, you know, and I like Alexa, man. I love her. I mean, a lot of times I try to stay away from the female fights because they're so iffy dealing with those fights. But I think the dog is smart money again in this. You know, that's a plus 150 in this fight. And I think I like Randa. I think Randa will find a way to grind her, sort of like the last fight that Alexa lost. You know, you got to grind her. You can't give her space and let her do all her fancy stuff. You got to grind her and get up on her and wear her down and make this fight ugly. And I think that's what Randa would do. I think Randa will probably ink out a decision.
Yeah, you know what? You're making a lot of points that Pam made on Wednesday's show. You know, we wanted to go with Grasso because, you know, in Invicta, we saw her, you know, be very impressive. She looked like a, you know, an up and rising star, but she just hasn't shown it in the UFC. And like you said, Showtime, that her missing weight is not good for anybody. But let's go ahead real quickly. Let's move down the card to the welterweight belt. And of course, while we talk about this, just to appease Pam, I have to put Pony on. I do apologize, but this is the way it has to roll. All right, so welterweight bout, as I mentioned, Alan Joban versus Nico, the hybrid Price. So Joban on the UFC.ca. And Showtime, where are you getting your odds from, just so we can let everybody know?
FiveDimes.com.
Okay, gotcha. Same as usual. All right, so I've got Joban being the favorite, minus 170 versus Price coming back at us at a plus 145. Showtime.
Okay, yeah, that's close. We have Joban at minus 170 and have Price at plus 150. So those are pretty close. If Pam is listening when we say Joban, as it's pronounced, she's probably sweating. This is another one. This is another one of her guys, and she loves us to death.
Yep.
Another one of the pretty boys that can fight. Man, this I think I'm gonna say this again, man. I think I'm gonna take the dog again. I love Joban. I love him. He's been in a bunch of wars though. This guy. If his chin holds up, he's going to be lucky, man, because he's been in some battles. I mean, I can think about three or four fights right off the top that have been wars. And I think this Nico Price kid is hungry. You know, you're dealing with a hungry kid, a hungry lion. So I'm going to take him again. This isn't the parlay that I'm going to give you far as what, you know, the pretty much the for sure plays that I would play today. But if you want to take a chance and take you some dogs and get you a little three-team parlay and put three dogs together, you know, Pettis, Markos, and Price is a decent little parlay for you to throw out there, you know. Throw it up against the wall and see if it'll stick.
Right on, absolutely. I tend to agree with you on this one as well. I'm definitely on Price on this one as well. I just think, like you said, you can see the look in his eyes, even in the photo that the UFC has on online. He just looks like a hungry dog coming up. And yeah, tough test, and Joban, of course, but I'm on Price with you. So there's one more fight on this fight card that that piqued my interest that I thought we needed to talk about before we get your parlay. And that's an awesome dogs parlay right there, three-teamer. Good advice. So, the next fight that I wanted to talk about was Smiling Sam Alvey against Sugar Rashad Evans. And I'll give you the odds real quick. Again, I just wanted to say these odds are from the UFC.ca website. I've got Alvey here as the favorite, as a minus 120 Showtime versus Sugar Rashad Evans coming back at us at a plus 100 Showtime.
You know what? Lucky again, Five Dimes has the same odds.
Oh,
now,
wow.
This is one of those fights. This is an intriguing fight simply because we don't know what Rashad Evans we're going to see. And Rashad actually has the same skill set. He can put the same game plan that Talis Latest beat Sam with. But the thing about it, Rashad doesn't seem to like to wrestle anymore. He likes to try to strike, and he plays that game. You know what? He sort of plays the T. Woodley game of trying to sit back and counter-strike or pick his points to try to land that right hand. And I think if he fights that fight, I think Sam will beat him. Because Sam is awkward, but Sam is hard. Sam has heavy hands. I mean, if Rashad comes out and tries to wrestle, I think he can win this fight. But if you got to go off what Rashad has shown us his last couple fights, you know, I got to go with Alvey. As much as I hate it, I want to pick Rashad for this fight. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what we're going to get. One thing about it, we know what we're going to get with Sam. Sam is going to sit back. He's going to wait, and he's going to land that heavy right hand whenever he gets the chance. Like, he's going to power his jab, and when he can throw that heavy right, he's going to touch you with it, and he's going to hurt you with it if you let him. And, you know, I just don't know. I mean, this is a fight that I don't even know if I would even bet on, because we don't know what Rashad was going to get, man.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, of course, we know. We all know.
Break it down.
Yeah, pretty much the same way. And I'm very concerned not only with, you know, Rashad coming down in weight. I mean, maybe it's where he should be fighting. And Marco said that, you know, he should probably have been fighting at this weight for a longer period of time on Wednesday. Marco stated that. I heard Rashad Evans on the MMA Hour on Monday. The confidence wasn't there in his voice. I didn't hear confidence in his voice. I heard, you know, a guy may be struggling not only with the weight cut, but with, you know, where they are and the altitude. I mean, the altitude is going to be a factor in all of these fights for everybody who's not been there for a long period of time. It just is. We've seen it every single time they've gone to Mexico City. And we know that Rashad tends to gas fairly quickly. Maybe coming down to this 185, maybe he won't. But I think you make good points about Sam Alvey. You know, we know what he's going to do. We know he's going to try and touch that chin. And we know that Rashad has folded up like a lawn chair in the past. So I agree with you. I'm going to go with a Smiling Sam Alvey. As much as it pains me to see a guy that's been in the sport, you know, for such a long time, have such a large fall from grace, which we do hear quite often. But he does have another career, you know, on the desk. And I hope that that's where he stays in the future, because he can add a lot to, say, even a three-man booth if he can get into the commentary team. But also on the Fox Sports desk with all the people back in L.A., I think that's a good fit for him. Showtime. Before we get into your final parlay that you want to recommend to us, I want to ask you, is there another fight that I have not mentioned, spotlight fight of the night that you've got your eye on? Please give that fight, give out the odds, and then I'll give the odds that I have here.
You know, I'm going to tell you what I think is going to be a real good fight, man. You know, from looking at all these fights on here, this Dustin Ortiz Hector Sandoval fight. I think that's going to be a freaking scrap, man. I mean, these are guys that, you know, I guess if you, unless you're just an MMA nut, that you may not, you may haven't even heard of these, either one of these guys. But from me looking at this card, that's going to be a damn good fight, man. I mean, they, those guys are going to come get at each other, man. That's my spotlight fight.
Yeah, I've actually picked the same spotlight fight of the night as you. This is going to be a very intriguing fight. Let me give the odds real quickly here. We've got Dustin Ortiz is the favorite at a minus 190. And, of course, Hector Sandoval, the kid Alex, coming back at us at a plus 165. Those odds sound right to you?
Yep. Actually, same odds. Same odds on five times.
Okay, perfect. And as you mentioned, Showtime, I think this is you know, one we have to keep our eye on. It's going to be an exciting fight at 125. I mean, I don't know about you, Showtime, but I don't like to discriminate between weight classes. And I think it, you know, these lighter weight guys put on great fights, and I think we're going to see one here with this fight.
Exactly, man. You know one thing about these little guys, they're going to come get after each other, man, for 15 minutes. It's going to be 15 minutes of action. It's not going to be any lulls in the fight where one guy don't want to fight. They're going to fight. You know, it's like they're little energized bunnies, man. They're going to fight, you know, the whole fight. It's going to be exciting. And I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, this card might be going under the radar a little bit, you know, but if you're an MMA fan, you're an MMA fan, in my opinion, and you're gonna watch no matter what. Okay, Showtime, let's start to wrap this up. So you gave us a three-teamer already with the underdogs, Pettis, Marcos, and Price. So that was your three-teamer dog bet. So what do you got for us in a parlay besides that?
You know what? Another three-teamer that I really like is you got Hector Sandoval, you got Dustin Ortiz. I like Dustin Ortiz at 190. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the fight between Brad Scott and Jack Hermanson. And I like Hermanson at minus 255. I like him. He's an exciting fighter. And my last one is you have Henry Briones versus Ronnie Yahya. And I like Ronnie Yahya at minus 230. I like those three. I think that's a good, solid, you know, good, solid three-team parlay.
There you have it, folks. Two three-team parlays for you from the man himself, the gambler. Showtime, it's been a pleasure having you back on with me again. We've missed you, your breakdowns, your knowledge of the sport. Just, you know, you fit in fantastically, and hopefully we can have you on again, do some more of these hold the line shows, even if they're just, you know, short 15-minute bursts where you can just give us your odds. I appreciate it. Again, you can follow Raimundo at Raimundo on Twitter. That's Showtime, everybody. If you didn't know, that's his real name. Of course, he's on the Facebook as well. I'm going to throw to you before I play your music to get you out of here. You got anything more to say, Showtime?
Man, it was a pleasure as always, man. I just had a lot of stuff going on with me. I think I kind of explained to you what I was, had a lot of stuff going on with my business, man, trying to get a bunch of things together. I'm going home now and taking me a week off, and I start a new journey, man. Not this Monday, but the following week, man. I'm starting a new journey, man. So I'm just blessed, man, and everything is good. And I'll be back on with you guys anytime you want me to be on, man. You know, I'm just a phone call or a message away.
Absolutely, and thank you very much. And, of course, I had explained to the audience that where you had been, and, you know, sometimes, as we like to say on the show, sometimes life gets in the way. Thank you very much, Showtime, and I'm going to play your music. Have yourself a great day, and I wish you all the best in your new venture. Cheers, my friend.
You got to know when to hold up.
Thank you.
Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money.
All All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the gambler himself, Showtime from Tennessee. Again, we like to thank him for his time. And as I had to explain to you guys, you know, we are just regular dudes. We're just putting shows together for your enjoyment because we love to do it as well. So go ahead and play me some outro music. All right. So thank you all very much for tuning in. And I appreciate you very, very much. Thank you to also DJ Tony for putting this together and putting it up on the internet. Thank you very much to our boy, Mr. Danny Austin. Follow him on Twitter at DannyAustin_9. Great guy. One day we'll meet up. Definitely not going up to the cottage to meet with him at all this week. So thank you very much, Danny, for your time while on vacation. Of course, big thank you to Showtime. Again, it was excellent having him back. You know, I don't have to tell you guys that breakdown of not only the fight, the gambling, the odds, you know, I cannot give you that in-depth kind of a look at the odds, whereas Showtime, that's what he does. Hopefully you all can take his information, his bets, his parlays, and use them to your advantage. Again, this is we're not telling you to go out and spend all your money. Please gamble within your means, shall I say. And as the sky full of stars running here, it's a little loud. Let me turn that down. Again, thank you guys very much. I'm going to get out of here. Have yourselves a good week. Or we'll see you on Sunday for this week in MMA. To cover everything that happened at UFC Mexico City. So just like that, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.